Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Chav Zayin Maseches Bava Kama, is the 1418th daf in Shabbos. Our Gemara, we're going to pick up five lines from the bottom with a couple of cases of Misa, where someone murders someone else but doesn't do the entire action for the premeditated murder. For example, the Gemara discusses if Reuven throws an individual or even a baby off of a roof, and then someone stabs it in the air. We're going to discuss a machlokis tanaim in regards to kirev misaso, if someone brings one's death, another individual's death, closer, whether one is chayiv or not. The Gemara is going to continue contrasting from yesterday's daf cases like these. For example, the Gemara will discuss what happens if someone falls off of a roof and causes damage. So like in the previous daf where we had the same instances, that sometimes you'd be chayv from Misa and potter from Golos, or potter from Misa and chayv for Nezikin, the Gemara is going to contrast different areas of halacha on one event. So therefore the Gemara is going to discuss what happens in the regards to Nezikin if he falls off the roof, what's in regards to Dalad Devarim for the halachos of Chovel, which is in many ways, if you recall, a continuation of yesterday's daf. And then we're going to begin a new perek, Perek HaMiniach. Perek HaMiniach is going to be also about a combined type of hezek. The Mishnah is going to discuss an individual who places a barrel, or a more accurately, a jug, in the Rishus HaRabim, and someone trips on it and breaks it. Usually the halach is the individual is potter for breaking the jug, because the owner shouldn't have put it in the Rishus HaRabim. And if the individual who trips on it gets injured, the Baal HaChavis, the owner of the jug, is going to be chayv. The Gemara, though, will give us many different permutations about that particular case, and many others where you have individuals walking in the Rishus HaRabim. Another example the Gemara will give us from a Braisa is a case of an individual who walks in the Rishus HaRabim with a jug, while another person walks with a beam, and the individual with the beam bangs into the jug. Did the person with the jug stop suddenly? So that is a discussion. I erroneously mentioned a Braisa, it's a Mishnah that we have all the way at the end of our Masechta that the Gemara is going to contrast to the beginning of Perek HaMiniach. HaMiniach is going to continue with the halachos of Nezikin, and particularly getting involved with the halachos of Bor. And HaMiniach HaSakad is a form of Bor. But let's Be'ezer Hashem wrap up with the fascinating contrast of similar type of cases, yet different type of dinim, in regards to objects that are falling off of a roof. To put it again in context, we had on Chavavam Beis towards the top, if an individual is sitting on the top of a roof and he has a stone on his lap and he doesn't realize it, and he stands up and it falls off, so the Gemara has a litany of halachos in regards to different categories, whether he is chayiv or potter. The reason we got involved with it was the Mishnah on the bottom of Chavav Amar Aleph taught us a very important rule, and that is for Nezikin, one is always chayiv. Whether one is Bishogeg or Mazid, Nezikin, one is chayiv, and that the Gemara learns out from a Gzeres HaKosav, that Adam is Mu'ad Olam, Bein Bishogeg, Bein Mazid. Therefore, the individual stands up on the roof, and a rock falls down and damages, he's chayiv for the damage. He's not chayiv for arba dvarim, for a chovel, that someone who causes bodily injury to somebody else, if it causes someone's eye to be knocked out, nezek tzaripu yishevus and boshes, is not paid. Le'inyin Shabbos, he's not going to be chayiv, because melechas machshevus asra Torah, and le'inyin golos, he's going to be potter. For shloshim shelevet, is a machlokis Reb Shimon Gamliel and the Rabbana. All that was discussed 7 or 8 lines from the top of Chavav and Beis, and we're just reviewing it with very basic Rashi Prakim. Now the Gemara says 5 lines from the bottom on Chavav on the Beis. V'amar Rabba, Zarak Tinok Meiro
Rosh Hagag. If an individual throws a baby off, a murderer throws a baby off of a roof, so Reuven threw it off the roof, and Shimon comes along and he catches it, but doesn't say that he's another murderer. V'kiblo b'sayif, he allows it to fall onto a sword and kills the baby. Pluksa d'Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser v'Rabbanan. That's a machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser v'Rabbanan. This sanya, as we learned in a brisa, he ko asara b'nei adam. If there are 10 people who are hitting an individual, this is a sugya in Sanhedrin on Ein Ches Amud Aleph, an absolutely fascinating sugya. A gang is beating somebody. So if there are 10 people, basar makos, beme basachas, beme bezachaze, kulam pturi. All of them are exempt according to the Tanakhama. Rashi explains on the top of Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, the Tanakhama is of the opinion that someone is only chayiv for murder if he's responsible for kol nefesh. So therefore, even though we know which one was number one, that was Reuven, and which one was number 12, that was Binyamin, all of them are going to be Pturim. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaser disagrees. He says, Bazeh achar zeh, if it's one after the other, ha'achron chayiv. The last one is Chayim b'pnei shekirev misasai, because he is the one who brought the death closest. In other words, even if the individual was going to die, but at the end of the day, the one who gives, if you will, the makib patish is going to be chayiv. Rashi points out that that's what Rabba is saying in regards to the individual that catches the baby that is essentially, if you recall from yesterday's daf, mana tvira, the baby's definitely going to die once it's been thrown off the roof, but kirav misaso, by sticking the sword out, he's like the last person who gave the last blow, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. So this is this fundamental machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and the Tanakhama is going to be the same issue as well, where the baby is essentially killed by the first person, but at the end of the day, the second person is chayiv because he was kira misasa. The Gemara continues, Bo sharvi kiblo bekarnav. What happens if it's not an individual who stabs the baby, but an ox comes along and gores it in the air? So then that's another machlokas. Pluksud Rabbi Shmuel b'nai shar b'yecham and b'yekiv rabbanan. The son you will learn in the Brisa, v'nosam pidya nafshoi. The Torah Kedoshah says that when it comes to, in regards to an animal that gored and killed, the owner has to pay koifer. And the Torah says, v'nosam pidya nafshoi. Koifer is referred to as pidya nafsho, and that's the special payment that one is required to pay if one's animal gores. There's an achleikis tanaim how to define the words in the pasuk of anasam pidya nafsho. So the Tanakhama says demei nizik, that is what was the value on the market presumably of the victim before he was killed. Interestingly, that would have been what I would have thought. However, Rabbi Shmuel ben Yosher Rabbi Yocham and Breike has a different opinion. He holds Dmei mazik, the actual value of the mazik himself, because what's not clear is a pronoun. His value, redeemed from his value. Whose value, the mazik or the nizik? So there's a machloikis. Says the Gemara that if we assess from the value of the mazik, so then that would be fine. According to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, there's reason to be mechayev the Baal HaShor, and he'll have to give his value. However, according to the Tanakhama, the Rabbanon, who say that we assess the main nizik, so then, at the moment that the ox came along and gored him, he already didn't have any value. It was what the Gemara referred to earlier as mana tvira tavar. Once the item is thrown off the roof, in this case, the baby, but previously we also had a case of an item that was falled off the roof, it's considered broken. The baby is already halachically no longer a living item that has value. So therefore, the halacha is that there's no kofer. Ve'omar Rabba, another halachic application about the above discussion. Nafal mirosh hagag. What if an individual is sitting on top of a roof and he fell off in a way that he should have been more careful? He should have been aware that it was a little bit windy up there and he could be blown off. V'niska be'isha. And he ends up
penetrating into a woman. It's a little bit of a wild case that somehow when he was thrown off the roof, there was bia. So chayiv ba'arba dvarim, he's chayiv for arba dvarim as a chovel, because if he caused her any damage, he was responsible that he put himself in the position that he might fall off the roof. Ubi yivimto lo kana. But he won't be kona if she is a yavama. In other words, if she happens to be a yavama, then the bia is not effective. The reason for that is because yavama, yibum, requires, the Gemara tells us in Gimel Amud Beis and Yavamos, requires kavana l'shum yibum. And that he didn't have. Chayiv benezek b'tzar b'ripui b'sheves. He's chayiv, as we mentioned, for chovel, if he damages her, aval boshes lo, but he wouldn't be chayiv for boshes desnan, because we learn later on in Pei Vav and Beis, the Mishnah Perek HaChovel, ain't a chayiv ala boshes ad she miskaving. He's not going to be chayiv on boshes until he is mechaving. Ve'omar Rabba, and the Eilig Rabba taught us something else. If he fell off, and really, he should not have expected that he would fall off, so he wasn't amazed. So then, if he damages and he's mevayesh the person that he damages, chayiv al nezek, he's chayiv for the nezek, u'potter b'dal dvarim, but he'll be potter for dval dvarim. Ruach mitzuya v'hizik u'biyesh chayv edal dvarim u'patra ala boishas. But ruach mitzuya, if he should have expected, he's chayv also for boishas, along with all of the arba dvarim. Excuse me, he's chayv the arba dvarim, but he's potter from boishas. Why is he potter from boishas? The reason why he's potter on boishas is because in order to be considered someone who embarrassed someone else, it has to be done mikavana. And since he fell off, it wasn't his intention to be mevayish. The Gemara then adds a caveat, vim nishapich. But what happens if he's falling through the air and he sees his prey on the bottom and he turns himself over, he positions himself to give him the best possible whack. So then in such a case, then he's going to be chayiv on the boshes. Chayiv afal boshes. Tesani mimashu shenemar v'shilcha yoda. The Torah, in describing the case of Arba Dvarim, is a case of where a woman injures a man. She sticks out, intentionally sends out her hand to hurt him. Eini yodea shirzika, matam lo mevirzika. Why is it emphasized virzika? She, in this case, virzika bimavushav, that she punches him where it hurts, under the belt. Why say v'chzika lo melacha? Kivan sheniskaven lehezek. Since only because she intended for hezek, afal pishlo niskaven lebayesh. Even if her intention was not to embarrass him, but she intended to be mazik him, then she's chayv for boshes as well. However, the only time you're chayv is if you have kavana. V'omer Rabba, we learned another halacha from Rabba. Hiniach loy gacheles aliboy umeis. If a person murders someone by leaving a coal on his heart. It's interesting, what was the case? Maybe the individual was sleeping. So then, potter, the halacha is that the victim should have removed it. By the way, that would be a riot that he wasn't sleeping. Al bigdo, but if he placed it on his garment, v'nisraf, and then he got burnt, chayiv. The individual there didn't notice that his garments were getting burnt. Let's say he has a talus. It's not like our clothing that is snug and almost immediately he'll feel it. First, the garment catches on fire and then it's too late. So then he's chayiv. So Rabba's now been teaching many different halachos in regards to differences, nuanced differences that change halacha when one is potter and one is chayiv. Amar Rava, Rava commented on the last case. Tarvayu Tinini. Both of these cases, that whether you put it on his garment, the kol, or you put it on his heart, are mishnayis. This not, because it appears in Sanhedrin. Kavash alav l'socha or, o l'socha mayim, v'enu yochol lalos misham umeis chayiv. If an individual trapped someone by pushing him into fire or water, and then the victim can't get out, then he's chayiv. The other person was a rotzeach. If, however, the victim was able to get out, so then he's not a rotzeach, and the individual pushed him in is patur. So clearly, says Rava, if the individual was able to remove it from his heart, then there isn't capital murder. However, if he wasn't, then the individual who placed it is a murderer. Big Doe's also mentioned the snot. This appears on Sadi Beis Amar Alef in our Masechta. Karas Ksusi. If an individual says, Tirmai, Karas Ksusi, tear my garment. Shiber es kadi, break my jug. Chayef. Amanas liftar bot potter. He says, do it. Then, if the individual does it, so Reuven says, break my jug. Even if Shimon does it, first glance seems like it's Reuven's command. Nevertheless, Shimon is chayef, because Reuven didn't say that you would be potter. He says, on the condition that you're going to be potter, he is potter. So too, when he puts a coal on the beged of his friend, the reason why his friend didn't remove the gacheles is because his intention was to be toveya, the individual who put it on his cloak. And therefore, he's not expected to remove the coal. Since he's not expected to remove the coal, then the halacha is that the one who put down the coal in the cloak is a murderer. And therefore, he's chayiv. Tosis points out that this is not an absolute proof at first glance. Just because the individual that put down the coal on the garment is chayiv for placing on the garment, and that's the reason why the victim didn't want to remove it, doesn't necessarily turn that individual, the one who put down the coal, into a murderer. At the end of the day, it was dependent on the decision of the victim, and take a look at Tosos, who tries to attempt to answer that. Boi Rabba, four lines before the end of Ketzer HaRegel. Rabba asks the following shayla. Hiniach gacheles aleiv avdo mahu. If he puts the coal on the heart of his eved, kigufay dami, oi kimimaynay dami. We look at the eved as a bardas, and therefore the responsibility of the individual is to remove the coal. And if he does not remove the coal, he's still potter from murder of an eved. Or do we say an eved is looked at as his money, and therefore the eved does not have the requirement to remove the coal, and therefore either way, he's considered a murderer of an eved, even though if it was a free person, the halach would be different. Im timsalam kegufo dami, if we're going to say that he's like every other person, and the eved is expected to remove it, and therefore the adon is not a murderer of his eved, shoro mahu. What would the halach be if he does it to a shor? So since the halach would be that if he puts it on the eved knani of his friend, so the eved knani is expected to remove it if he doesn't, the Eved Knani does not, then the one who put down the coal is not chayiv to pay shloshim shel Eved. Because at the end of the day, the Eved is responsible that he left it on his body. Shoroma, what if he puts it on a ox to kill the ox? Do we expect the ox to remove it? And if we don't, so then he has to pay for killing his shor. If we expect the shor to knock it off like a person, so then he would be potter. Says Gemara Hadar Pashta Avdoi Kegufay, an eved is like a person, and therefore one would be potter if the eved, for whatever reason, does not remove it and kills the eved. He would not have to pay shloshim shel eved. Shorei kimemoinei, however, the shor is like his money, and therefore, when Reuven puts a coal on the shor of Shimon's, he's going to be chayiv, even if the shor, normally we would consider him as one who has the instincts to remove it. Nevertheless, it's not like a person, and therefore it's considered as if Reuven killed the shor, unlike if he put it on an eved. Hadron aloch ketzer haregel, beizer Hashem yisparech, we've concluded the second perek of Bava Kama. We now begin perek Aminiach. As we mentioned, Aminiach is a perek that deals with the halachos of bor, and we actually begin to speak about case of bor that's not the classic pit, but is an obstacle that's been put down on the ground. Haminiach is a kad b'rushus, a rabim zok daily gemishna. If a person puts down a jug
in the public thoroughfare, u'ba'acher, and someone comes along, v'niska'ban, and trips over it, v'shavra, and he breaks the jug, potter. Then the individual who tripped on it and broke it, let's give them names, Reuven put down the kad, Shimon tripped on it and broke it, Shimon is potter. V'mhuzakba, what if Shimon gets injured by it? Balachav is chayiv b'niska, the one who put down the jug or the barrel is chayiv in the damage. The Gemara immediately points out that the lashon of the Mishnah is striking. It starts out describing a jug, and then that jug is then turned into a chavis, as described as a barrel. Asks the Gemara, pasach b'kad v'siyem b'chavis. You start out speaking about a jug, and then you concluded talking about a barrel. Says the Gemara, utna nami. And we find that phenomenon not only in this Mishnah, but later on in Lamed Alpha Mebeis. Zeba b'chavisa v'zeba b'koyrosoi. Nishpura kadoi shalzeb b'koyrosoi shalzeb potter. The Mishnah later on is going to have, as we mentioned in our introduction as well, an individual that's walking down the street with a barrel, and someone else is walking with a beam. In the case of the one who's walking with the beam, breaks the jug. Notice the switch of subject. Originally it was a barrel, then it was a jug. Breaks the jug with the beam, potter. He's potter. Our Mishnah later on will explain, and Rashi alludes to it as well, that if both are going berishus, so then the Baal HaKorah is potter. He's allowed to walk there. The one with the jug is allowed to walk there. And therefore, no one is chayav for the damage. But the point for our mission is Pasach b'chavis v'siyem b'kad. Once again, it starts with a chavis and concludes with a kad. Utna nami, we got another Mishnah on Kuf Tez Volum at Aleph. Zeba b'chavisa shel yayin, individual is walking with his barrel of wine. Zeba b'kad shel dvash, individual is walking with his jug. Notice his jug of honey. Nistagar chavis shel dvash. The fellow with the barrel of wine banged into the jug or barrel of dvash, v'shafach ze yeino, and then this gets complicated. Then he pours out the fellow's wine, v'hitzlos advash l'socho, ein li elo schara. So then the halacha is that the baal dvash doesn't have to pay the dmei yayin, he only has to pay him as a poel. The guy with the wine felt bad and he tried to save the dvash, so he poured out his wine. Do you say that Baal Dvash has to pay for that? The answer is no. We'll discuss those details, Amir Tzeshem, in a couple months from now when we conclude Bava Kama. But either way, Pasach b'kad v'siyem b'chavis. Once again, it starts over the case of kad and concludes with chavis. Amar Rav Papa. Rav Papa says, you don't have to make such a big deal. Hainu kad, hainu chavis. We mention kad and chavis together in the same sentence. And that's specifically why the Tana uses them interchangeably to emphasize that there is no difference from the perspective of the halacha between a kad and chavis. Says the Gemara, l'may nafkamina, why would we want to emphasize that they're the same? L'mekach u'memkar. Says the Gemara, for the halachos of sale. Let's see the Heligar Rashi inside. L'mekach u'memkar, four lines from the bottom. Shbiyara moicher losis lo'y ezesh yirtze. The seller could decide to give the buyer any he wants. If we make up, let's go back to Reuven and Shimon. Reuven and Shimon make up Reuven to sell Shimon a chavis. If Reuven decides to give a kad in its place, that's going to be fine. Says Gemara, hechi dami. What exactly is the instance over here? What is the normal custom in the area that they're making the sale? Ilem abasr dekado. If we're talking about a place where they don't call a kad a chavis and a chavis a kad, then they don't call it that way. Then Rav Papa's statement doesn't make any sense. Most people call a barrel, and most people call a jug, and then Shimon could say, how can you give me a jug if you said barrel? But and there are some who call a barrel a jug. Hence, Reuven could say, yeah, you call a barrel, but I call a jug a barrel as well. And that's what I meant. And Mao, the same of the Chiddush is Zil Basa Ruba, that you should follow the majority, and therefore Reuven cannot give him a kad if he said Chavis. Kamash Malon, de Ein Holchim B'Maman Acharov. If there is a case of a Safek, we don't follow the majority. This is one of the most important klalim in Shas. And that is, when it comes to shailos of mamon, so then we have a rule of amotzi mechavero olav araya. It's quoted in the name of the Gra that the Torah Kedosha tells us in Parshat Shoftim that when there is going to be a din or riv b'sha'arecha, so then we will go to the dayan, asheya bayom mehem, to judge bein dam ladam, bein din ladin, bein nega lenega. Dam ladan, it's quoted from the Gra, refers to dam nida. You need to ask shailos and hilchos nida to someone who is a reputable Baal Halacha, not someone who's taken a crash course in a year's time, someone who spent their life learning Horah. And then in Iser Veheter, where Hilchos Nida is found, the rule of Savik Daraisa L'Chumra, Savik Darabbanan L'Kula. Din L'Din refers to Dine Mamanos, and then we have a rule, if we have a Safik, of Hamotzi Mechaver L'Varaya. Notice also that when it comes to Safik Iser Veheter, we do follow the Rav. But Mammon is a different world. The third case is Nega L'Nega, is Tumah V'Tahara, and there it has its own sets of rules. Safik Tumah depends on where the Safik takes place. If it's Bershus HaYochid, it's Tameh. Bershus HaRabim, it's Tar. So this is a very, very important rule, that when it comes to Mammonos, we don't follow Rov, and we say Amotzi Mechavero, Olav Araya. Tosis has a famous question that's discussed a lot in the yeshivas, and that is that when it comes to Dine Nefashos, we do follow Rov. Bezdin does use Rov as a barometer. The halacha is that the majority of judges, of 72, are the ones who decide whether a person is put to death. You use the same process of judgment for Dine Mamonos, so you just use three dayanim. Asks Tosis, wouldn't we say that there's a Kal V'Chomer from Dine Nefashos, that by Dine Nefashos you follow the Rov, so too over here? Tosis gives a fascinating answer, requires a lot of Iyun, and requires a lot of Hesber, but one should know at least Tosis' Kasha, and please take a look at Tosis and some of our Shiurim in Bava Metzia and others, where we discussed Tosis' Teretz. Amongst the great Hesberim in Tosis is Reb Chaim, who gave a fascinating explanation. Let's Beis Hashem continue on the topic of Zayin of Beis, Ubachar V'Niska Bo V'Shavra Potter. The Mara now goes back on the topic of Zayin of Beis to the substantive issue of our Mishnah, where we had learned Ubachar V'Niska Bo V'Shavra Potter, that if an individual trips on the jug that was left in the Rishus HaRabim and he breaks it, he's potter. Now, intuitively, that makes sense, because at the end of the day, Reuven left his jug in the Rishus HaRabim, Shimon's allowed to walk in the Rishus HaRabim. However, the Gemara asks, am I potter? Why would he be potter? If you think about this a little bit more, it's not so simple. The individual who's walking in the Rishus HaRabim, doesn't he have a responsibility to look where he's going? And he should have noticed. So the Gemara gives a few explanations. It seems like the assumption of the question is legitimate. Amri devei rav, mishmei derav, bimimale rishus haram kulechavis. Number one, we're talking about a case where the rishus haram is full of barrels, and Shimon has all the right to walk through a rishus harabim, and he doesn't have to worry about it if it's full of barrels. Ushmol amar ba'feilo shanu, Shmuel gives another answer, and says we're talking about where it's dark outside, and therefore Shimon didn't notice, and he's exempt, because he doesn't have to worry about it. Rabbi Yechon Amar Bekeren Zavis, we're talking about a corner. We're talking about when you're turning from one mavui into a next. A mavui is generally a street that's closed on three sides by different courtyards, and you're making a right turn, let's say, from one mavui into next, and you didn't see the barrel there, and there was no way for you to have seen it. Amar of Papa. The Mishnah seems to make sense either like Shmuel's explanation or Rabbi Yochanan, that we're talking about either Karen Zavis Ba'afela, Dika Rav, because if it was Rav that we're talking about that the Rosh Hashanah was full of barrels, my Iriya Niskal, then why does it say he tripped over it? Afil Shavar Nam, he's allowed to even intentionally break it because he's allowed to walk through the Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, Rav Papa suggests that the closest explanation would be that it's either dark or it's Karen Zavis. Amar Rav Zvid says that's not a full raya. Mishmei de Rava. Hu adin da afilu
shavar. When our Mishnah says niskal, it could also mean he intentionally broke. Vayditan niskal. The reason it says that he tripped over it, I did by Mishnah seifa, because it says in the seifa of him huzik, and we want to emphasize in the seifa him huzik ba bal chavis chay benisko the dafke niskal avol shavar lo. Because in the seifa we're talking about where the bal chavis intentionally placed his barrel in the Rishus Rab and caused someone to get hurt. So then in such a case, that's only if the individual got hurt, tripped on it. The Dafka Niskal, only if he tripped on it. Avo, Shavar, but if he broke it, so he intentionally is going and breaking somebody else's stuff, and then he gets hurt? Loi. In such a case, then the Bala Chavis will not be chayiv to pay. My time, who the Azik Anafshei? He's the one who caused himself injury by going along and breaking the barrel in the first place. Katani Reisha Niskal. And that's why it says Niskal in the Reisha. Amar le Rebbe Abba le Ravashi, Hachi Amri b'marov mishmei de Rebbe Ula. They gave another explanation to the original question of why did he not look where he's going, and why automatically, just because the jug was put down in the Rosh Hashanah, does someone who's walking in the Rosh Hashanah break it? Why is he automatically putter? He should have watched to see where he's going. Another explanation. You don't have to watch. It's not normal for people to look at their feet the whole time to see what's going on. They take a look and they see what's going on in the store. And sometimes they're looking sideways, even though when they're walking ahead, and they don't have to watch their feet. So this is a fundamental question. Do we say ain't darken shal bnei adam liz boinein bedrachin? The Gemara continues how the uvda ben arda. The story took place in arda. V'chayiv Shmuel, and Shmuel said he was chayiv. He should have looked. B'pumbadisa v'chayiv rava. Now, how do we reconcile that with the Mishnah? Bishlam is Shmuel kishmeitze. Shmuel though explained our Mishnah differently. Shmuel said in our Mishnah, the reason why putter is it's dark, so during the day you would be chayiv, so it works out beautifully. Ela Rava, but Rava, why did Rava say you're chayiv? Didn't our Mishnah say you're putter? Lema kishmuel svirlei. So we could say that he holds like Shmuel. That's one possibility. But the Gemara is asking that rhetorically. Is there reason to believe that Rava holds like Shmuel? And a simple reading of our Mishnah is that you're potter. I'm going to pop a karna de atzra have it. It was a very particular case of a corner, a karen zavis, and atzri means it was next to a beis habad, it was next to an oil press, and he didn't notice that it was next to an oil press where there were jugs around. Dikim de bereshus ka'avdi, since the oil press was there, one was allowed to put utensils there, so then he boilele yune umezel. Then the individual who was walking should have kept his eyes open and should have been aware of what was going on, and therefore he is chayiv. So not necessarily does Rava agree that in all cases that it's light, when it's light outside, a person is chayiv when he breaks a jug in the Rosh Hashanah, like Shmuel holds. And our Mishnah, according to Shmuel, is only talking about where it was dark, but rather in that it was a particular case where it's obvious based on the commerce and the store structures and the street structure that there are certain places that you need to keep your eyes open. Obviously, halacha lemaisa, that would be, get involved with many, many, many different details. Now that the Gemara mentioned one particular case where the Rosh Hashanah was entirely full of barrels, then in such a case you're allowed to intentionally break those barrels if you're trying to walk the Rosh Hashanah and you have no other way through it. The Gemara gets into a entirely new sugya that we did not mention in our introduction, and that is the sugya of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe. The simple reading of our Gemara was that once an individual has no other place to walk in the Rosh Hashanah, and the only way to do it is to break someone else's stuff, is he's allowed to break it. So now we discuss the concept of Adam Rashay Lasos Din La'atzmai. Shalach Le Rav Chizda Rav Nachman. Rav Chizda sent Rav Nachman, Hare Amru Lirikuva Shalosh Ulbi'ita Chamesh. The Chachamim taught us that someone who kicks the shins of somebody else needs to pay 3 slon. Ulubi'ita, and if he kicks him on another place on his leg, it's not clear to me where that is, b'chamish. Ulusanukros, and if he kicks with the leg of a donkey, so then in such a case, he pays shloshesre. Lepanda demara,
Ulekupina demara mai. What happens if he hits him with the whip of the donkey? How much does he have to pay him? Shalach lei. So it's an independent shayla. We'll see in a moment what this has to do with Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshei. Shalach lei, he responded. That is, Rav Nachman responded to Chizda. Knasa kamagbis bebavel. Wait a second. How are you charging different types of money of boshes? That's a knas. And a knas you can collect in bava. We've learned in other instances that the halacha is that Bezdin can only connect knas if there's smuchim. And there's no smuchim in bava. So he needs to clarify, says Rav Nachman. Emily Gufa Dov de Hechiav. What was the exact case? Shalachle. So Rav Chizda says, okay, I'll tell you what the story that I was driving at when I asked you the question by summarizing different types of kickings. Dahu Gargusa de Vetre. There was a pit of water that belonged to two people for as shutvis. Every day one of them drew water. Asachad Kadoli Bioma Delay Delay. And one came along and drew water on a day that was not his. So the other protests and say, it's not your day, it's my day. The fellow who was drawing the water inappropriately didn't listen to him. So the second decided to get violent. And he hit him with this panda demara. I might have mistranslated earlier before, just the technical detail, panda demara. It's, according to most I see now, is a handle of a hoe, or some even say the metal part of the hoe. Either way, is he hit him. Amar lei, mea pandi bepanda lemichya. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Chizda, he was allowed to hit him. Why? He could hit him 100 times. Because he was trying to prevent the other partner taking the water illegally. And Rav Nachman adds, afila mandala amar lo avit inish dilan afshei, even though in general, if someone owes you money, you're not allowed to enforce that din. But makam pseida avid inish dilan afshei. In cases of loss, you are allowed to. Now there's so much to say over here about avid inish dilan afshei, but we'll just read the Gemara. The Imar Rav Yehuda Amar lo avid inish dilan afshei. Rav Yehuda said you can't. Rav Nachman Amar avid inish dilan afshei. Heichadika pseida kule amalo pligida avid inish dilan afshei. If there's loss, like someone's taking your water, then you're allowed to hit him. The only machlokis is where there is no loss. In other words, you have time to go take him to court, Rashi explains. In this case, the individual who has the rights to the bar, if he's going to run to court, he's going to lose that day's worth of money. So then, in such a case, then everybody agrees, avid inish dinan lashay. Ki pligi, when's there a machlokis hecha de lekup seid? Rav Yehuda amar lo avid inish dinan lashay, tekim de lekup seid, the lezel kame dayana. You could go to court. Rav Nachman amar avid inish dinan lashay, tekim de bedin avid lo tarach. Since it's a case where he's actually entitled, he doesn't have to schlep to Bezdin. There's a lot about the sugya of avid inish dinan lashay. Maybe in Mirtz Hashem tomorrow we'll continue with that sugya, because we'll pick up three lines from the bottom of Masiv Rav Kahana. What did we learn on today's daf? Today's daf, we continued the sugya of things that were falling off of a roof, and we saw that even though there's a rule from yesterday's daf, that if an individual throws down an object from a roof, that's definitely going to break, because there's no pillows underneath to catch or protect it. If someone else comes along and breaks it, the halacha is that that item, the second individual who broke the item, is potter. However, when it comes to life that's thrown off the roof, so if someone else comes along and stabs it, so then even though the life was going to die, if it was a baby that's thrown off the roof, God forbid the baby is going to die, nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra holds kirev misa, so is chayiv misa, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra would hold that the second one is chayiv. If a shark comes along and kills it, so then that's dependent on whether kofar is the main nizik or the main mazik. If you hold it's the main nizik, the life doesn't have any value because it's definitely going to die. It would be potter from kofar. If you hold the kofar as the main mazik, you'd be chayiv. The Gemara then went on to give details of
the halachos of someone who falls off the roof and is not mechamed to be mevayesh, and then in such a case, the halach is that he's potter and boshes. If, however, he indicates in his actions that he's intending to be mevayesh, then the halacha will be that he is chayiv for boshes. In regards to placing a coal onto someone's heart, so then normally the individual remove it, and therefore one puts on someone's heart, then he's not considered a murderer because it's expected that the potential victim would remove it. However, if he puts it on his garment, so then the individual would not notice it, and therefore, in such a case, he's chayiv. That summarizes the conclusion of Ketzer Harego. Perek HaMeniach began with a discussion of barrels and jugs. The Gemara tells us that if one discusses the halachos of a barrel or a jug that was put down in Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a barrel or a jug, where the term is used interchangeably. And that's why our Mishnah says, HaMeniach HaSakad U'Bo'achar V'Niskal. And then it says, V'imhuzik Ba'al HaChavis, changing kad for chavis, to tell us that if there is a sale that is done, and the seller used the word kad, as long as there are people who also refer to as chavis, we say ein ochem mamon acharov, and he's allowed to give him the chavis. And we made reference and explained the rule of ein ochem mamon acharov. The Mishnah itself tells us the following: halacha that if you put down a kad in the Rosh Hashanah and someone else trips on it and breaks it, he's going to be potter. The Gemara asks, why is the individual potter? What about him looking where he's going? The Gemara concludes that there are many who hold that you just don't have to look where you're going. Alternatively, Shmuel disagrees with that psak, and Shmuel says that our Mishnah is talking about when it's dark outside. However, if it was during the day, then you're right. The one who walks on it is going to be potter. The Gemara also points out that there was a story where Rava also exempted the individual, and he seemed to learn like the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan, who says that if you turn the corner, you wouldn't be expected to notice. And so too, over here, it was during a time where there was a bad, there was a press in the corner, and he should have expected that such a thing would happen. Along the way, the Gemara had also mentioned that if the Rosh Hashanah was full with jugs, then the individual is allowed to break it, which would seem to indicate that we say, Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, and the Gemara says, yes, everybody agrees that Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, where there is no Hefsid and where there is no alternative, there is a big machlokis of Ovid Inish Dina Lenafshe, where there wouldn't be an Hefsid, but a Tircha to go to Bezdin. In such a case, we have a machlokis Amoraim, and Be'ezer Hashem tomorrow will continue with that machlokis Amoraim. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes Daf Chav Zayin in Maseches Bava Kamma.